Praise God. And then also be taking a look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalms 118, verse 17. When you get there, say amen. Didn't hear anybody just yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalms 118, verse 17. Simply says this, that I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, says that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, The Fight of Your Life. The Fight of Your Life. And we are in a fight for our lives. A fight for survival, a fight to just exist and to do the will of God. And we're going to pray once again, pray for the Lord's blessing on this message. I want to rely completely on the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything. I'm nobody special. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. And we're just going to pray for His leading and for His manifestation in this house today. Father, we just thank You. God, we just praise You. We lift You up. We exalt You. There truly is none like You. God, none beside You. And even as we have gathered here and we've worshiped Your name today, I pray, oh God, show Yourself strong. Let Your presence arise. Let all of Your enemies be scattered. I pray, Lord God, anoint my lips, anoint my heart to speak Your word with clarity. God, with fervency and compassion. God, that people might be transformed. God, I pray, use me not to instigate a shouting praise break, but God, to instigate a transformation in lifestyle. God, to change partners from dancing with the world with dancing with Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus, let the spirit of conviction even arrest the hearts and the minds of this congregation. Draw us into intimacy. Draw us into fellowship with You in the name of Jesus. God, we thank You in advance for the victory, and we give You all the praise and the glory. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated for those of you that are standing. The issue of life has been one of great debate throughout history. It seems to be one of great argumentation, especially in today's day and age, in the present day discussion as to what exactly is life. That doctors, they describe life as being that when you're able to breathe, inhale and exhale. Some would define life as being as when you have a heartbeat. Others might define as to what life is if it has movement or animation, if it's able to move of its own accord or its own free will. And what I think is very interesting is that in regards to the physical life that dwells within a human being, that it goes beyond the medical terms that are used besides just the breathing or just the heartbeat. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that we get an idea as to what life is in relation to a human being. The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That the Bible defines life not just only just the breathing into the nostrils, but the result of that breath, which was a soul that was alive, not just a body that was animated or that had a heartbeat or that was able to inhale or to exhale, but it was a soul that was alive. And one of the things that's very interesting regarding the definition of life and also the value of life that has really taken over the conversation of this day and age is that the issue about life is that it comes truly from God alone. And that life has been devalued through abortion, has been devalued through many other activities. In particular, now that we're seeing this discussion in relation to justice, that now we have a whole movement regarding trying to show the value of life. It's called Black Lives Matter. And of course, that this has caused great debate and it's caused great division and discord amongst our nation. That now we have our citizens that are arrayed against law enforcement that say that Black Lives Matter and that there is corruption, that there is injustice, and that we're continuing to see individuals of color being castigated and being put down and being killed for various issues, whether they are committing a crime or not. And whether what other side you stand on, the issue I want to point out is not the criminal justice system. The problem is not even racism. The problem is not even to deal with one's ethnicity or one's background, so to speak. It has nothing to do with our legislation. It has nothing to do with our executive office. The problem of evil is far more systemic than that. It goes far beyond the superficial exterior that's on your body, your skin color. But the problem is sin and the wickedness of man's heart. For it's out of the heart that all evil and all wickedness it comes out of. It flows out of the heart. And so the issue that people are coming against, we're trying to have protests, we're trying to instigate laws, we're trying to get cameras on policemen, and we're trying to deal with a problem from the outside. We're dealing with the fruit, but we're not really dealing with the root. The only thing that can truly stop the issue of the killings that we're seeing in our society today is first to deal with the heart. You can vote in a new president, you can put in a new Congress, you can write a new bill or a new law, but it will not deal with the issue that truly is there, because it does not reside within Congress, it resides within the confines of the human heart. And until the human heart is changed, we will continue to see hatred and bigotry. We will continue to see prejudice. We will continue to see all manner of manifestations of evil, of adultery and fornication, of murder and slander and lies and gossip and division. We will continue to see these things until the heart is dealt with. And there is only one force on this earth that can truly deal with the heart, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of these things that we're seeing argued on Facebook and social media, they are distractions and misdirection from what the real issue is. We have argued about our skin color and our ethnicity and our background till kingdom come. We can argue all we want. But the fact of the matter is that until the inward man is transformed into the image of Christ, it does not matter what your exterior is. We are not fighting a racial war. We are not fighting a criminal war. We are fighting a spiritual war. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 verse 12, for the Bible said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Your enemy is not the corrupt police officer. Your enemy is not the thug walking down the street. Your enemy is the prince of darkness that stokes the fire of hatred inside of the hearts of men's lives. And the fact of the matter is that you cannot protest against the devil. He's not impressed by your banner that you wave as you march down the street. He is not impressed by the legislation or the laws that are instigated or that are propagated within our criminal justice system. The only thing that is going to get the devil to fall is spiritual warfare, the spiritual weapons. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Now the thing is, this issue regarding life, because that's what I really want to talk about, is the issue of life. That, again, the argument goes for the Black Lives Matter, trying to say that our lives matter as much as a white life or a brown life or a yellow life or whatever life. And of course the response is, well, all lives matter, that everyone's life is valuable. I'm going to say something that may get me lynched, but I'm going to tell you something. Nobody's life matters. What? Nobody's life matters if that life is not lived according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest tragedy that befalls man is not a gunshot by a corrupt police officer in the back of some individual that's just walking by down the street. The greatest tragedy is not a police officer doing his job who's gunned down by some thug. The greatest tragedy is when anybody dies apart from Jesus Christ. That is the greatest tragedy. And that is the war that we should be fighting. We should not be fighting from the stance of our color or our background or our ancestors. I want to tell you something. All of your ancestors were all wicked. The Bible said they were all born into sin. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why would I want to argue from that? From something that is wicked and infested with sin. My ancestry only goes back one generation to Jesus Christ when I was born again. No life matters unless that life is lived in Jesus Christ. There's 6 million ways to die, but there's only one way to live and to get to heaven. There's only one way to live and to get to heaven. And the only way to get there is through Jesus Christ. The fight of our life. The thing about life is that we say it is so valuable, but yet it is so fickle. Just one mistake, one circumstance, one variable, one factor that we do not account for can mean the end of our life. The Bible says in James 4, verse 13, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. That your life is but a vapor. It could be here one day and gone the next. Yet we're saying that our lives matter so much. And I want to tell you that our lives do not matter unless they are lived in Jesus Christ. When I was praying yesterday regarding what I was to talk about, the issue was regarding the issue of life. There is a spirit of death that is going across this country. That is taking lives, whether they're black or they're white or whatever. And please understand me, I'm not minimizing the movement in that regard. I'm not saying that there isn't a racial problem, but I'm saying the problem, the real root of the problem is sin, and it's the wickedness of the heart. And it's the prince of darkness who's influencing these individuals to commit such heinous acts and tragedies. It's a fight for our life. The Bible says in John chapter 10 verse 10 that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, but I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That the enemy, that the greatest enemy that you're fighting today, believe it or not, is not necessarily the devil. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 24. Says this. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Did you know that the devil will be destroyed before death will? And one of the ways that you can measure the degree of an enemy or how strong an enemy is how hard they are to get rid of. The greatest enemy that you need to fight is not necessarily the devil. The greatest enemy that you need to fight is death itself. And death can come in many forms. Of course, we can talk about the physical death, but really we want to deal with the spiritual death. And the fact of the matter is that if anyone physically dies apart from Christ, they are going to be defeated by the greatest enemy that mankind has ever faced is death. And death came by sin. And therefore the only way to get rid of death and to defeat death is to first deal with your sin. So before you go marching to do another protest, why don't you deal with the greatest enemy that lives inside of your own heart? Which is sin. For the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. There's only one way to live. Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That he claimed exclusivity in regards to life. That Jesus Christ said that the only way to live, the only way to really defeat the greatest enemy, which is death, is to find it inside of me. Jesus said in John 11 verse 25, that I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It's the fight of your life. You could proclaim that I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And you can even say that I'm going to live right now, that this cancer that's trying to destroy my physical life will not take me. But the Bible says, Mother Text said, that if our hope in Christ is in this life alone, we are of all men most miserable. And we are so distracted by the daily issues of this life. I want to tell you that there is a greater life to come that our focus should be on. That the Bible tells me in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above and not on things on earth. For you are dead and your life is hid in Christ with God. That your focus should be on Christ's eternal life. I want to speak life today. I want to speak life to the deadness that is in your situation. That whatever it may be. Hallelujah. But most of all, I want to speak life to your sin-infested soul that's wrestling with wickedness, that's wrestling with evil. God wants to speak life to you. But the only way that he can do that is if you believe in him and call on him and repent and turn from your wicked ways. Hallelujah. It's the fight of our life. We've got to fight and wage war against sin. Jesus said that I am the bread of life. He that believeth on me shall never hunger. He that cometh to me shall never thirst. Jesus is the only life to live. And the only way that we can fight the spirit of death is by preaching the gospel of Christ, is by preaching Jesus Christ. For the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 3, that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That inside of him was everything that we need in life. The Bible tells me in Psalm 16 verse 11, that thou wilt show me the path of life. For in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That Jesus is saying to you today that you need to get a life. I know we say that to people who don't have anything better to do. But I want to tell you today that if you don't have a life in Jesus Christ, that today is to get it. Today is the day to get it. Today is the day to get it. I want to show you something that I'm going to get out of the way. I told you I'm going to be before you for very long. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 18. This is Jesus talking to Peter. And he says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now when it says in verse 18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The Greek word there for hell is Hades. And it can also be translated the grave. The gates of the grave shall not prevail against the church. Because the church is the institution of life. And what I think is very interesting in this passage is that after he talks about the gates, he then talks about some keys. And in the next verse he says, Peter, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Notice he gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven, not to the keys of Hades. You want to know why? Because in Revelation 1:18, Jesus tells you who has the keys to Hades. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And had the keys of hell and of death. He says, I've got the keys to hell. And those that gateway, which is open to death, or open to the grave, it is not open to the believer in Christ. Because the believer in Christ has passed from death unto life. This is a message that pastor preached just recently in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, where it talks about that, behold, I sit before you an open door. You ever heard that one before? I should look at verse 7. He says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. That Jesus Christ is saying, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because the gates of hell are never open to the church, because the gates of hell is the gates of the grave, and the church is not dead, the church is alive. But instead, he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And the keys of the kingdom, they lead into eternal life. And God is saying to the church, the gates of hell, I have shut the door, and no man can open it to you, that you shall live and you shall not die. That though the enemy is trying to destroy you, he cannot open the door, because I've got the keys to the grave. And then that saying shall be uttered by the believer in Christ. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? For death is swallowed up in victory. That death has no business in the church. We don't need a revival, because the church never died. The word revive means to bring back to life. But yet we are supposed to be the church of the living God. It's the fight of our life. I'm done. Y'all can stand. I'm done. My point is this. Two things. One, if you are not in Jesus Christ, the gates of hell will prevail against you. The gates of the grave will prevail against you. And you're on a highway to hell, as the song says. That broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. That you need to get your house in order, and you need to repent and turn from your wicked ways. And you need to come to Christ and discover true life. True life. True life is not just in a car. It's not in the abundance of things or what we own or what we possess, but it's in Christ alone. He's the only one that can truly provide satisfaction. He's the only one that can truly provide fulfillment. And I tell you today that if we should die by way of the grave, by the body, that the grave will not hold us. There is coming a day that when the eastern sky will split, and that the dead in Christ shall rise. and that death will no longer have dominion over us anymore. It's the fight of our life. I want to speak life. Speak life. There's just so much death that we hear in the news. Another terrorist attack, another shooting, another mass murder. I want to preach unto you life. Life, true eternal life. Life that cannot be dissipated or cannot be weakened by the things of the day, this day and age. True life that comes only from Jesus Christ. If you've not experienced Jesus Christ, if you've not made him not only your Savior, but made him your Lord. It's not enough to call him your Savior. You've got to call him your Lord. Hear the thing. If Jesus is just your Savior. If I went and I rescued someone who was drowning in the ocean, I'd be their Savior. And they say, oh, thank you, man. You're my Savior. I thank you. And they go about their business. But if I was their Lord, they would follow me for the rest of their life. It's not enough to have a one-time salvation experience with God. But you need to make him Lord, which means he has full dominion over your life. He wants to be Lord over your life. You're going to fight for your life. The enemy is trying to kill you. He's trying to steal. He's trying to destroy. And today, I don't know who this was for. This is what I heard. I need to preach life. I quoted earlier that in John 1:3 that it says that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The scripture says that the spirit of man, this is in Proverbs, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Is the candle of the Lord. The thing is, a candle cannot produce light in of itself. The candle needs an ignition source. It needs a spark. It needs a flame for it to produce a light. Your spirit is a candle. But until it encounters Christ, who is the light of the world, your candle will never produce any light and you'll be in darkness. But when your spirit, your candle, encounters the light of the world, encounters the Holy Ghost in fire, it will produce light. Light in the darkest times. Light in the most hateful times. Light in the most depressing times. You'll be able to shine the light. And despite the enemy's attempts to darken it, despite the enemy's attempts to extinguish it, that he can never touch it. That he'll try to extinguish it and it will burn his fingers because it's like fire shut up in our bones. I offer unto you life. I offer unto you Christ. For the Bible says in Romans 8:2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. True freedom is not from an economic oppressive system. True freedom is not even from an oppressive legal system. True freedom is when you can say, I once was lost and now I'm found. That's true freedom. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can produce life, that can produce eternal life. And so I offer unto you this opportunity to experience Christ. Because right now you're in the fight of your life. Right now, if you're not in Christ, then death is your enemy and death is trying to take you under. So I offer unto you Christ today. And you can win that fight when Jesus Christ is your helper. I offer unto you the bread of life today, that when you partake of it, that you'll never hunger again. Offering you the living water today, that if you should drink it, you should never thirst again. For in him is life, and that life is the light of men. God bless you today.
Amen. I believe the Lord has spoken to us today. If you cleared away the rocks and you took away the weeds, you heard some seeds fall into good ground. Amen. We are going to close this service, but not close God's presence. I open these altars. If you want to come and pray, this is the place. Now is the time. I believe the presence of the Lord is here, and you can leave those doors different than the way you came. I'm in the fight of my life.